Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1269. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 1 through 7. And we'll read these verses responsively. And let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. And let's read the 7th verse together also. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And let's pray. And Father, you've given us a wonderful day. You've given us a wonderful place to assemble. You've given us a wonderful family with whom we can meet. Thank you for this great family of First Baptist Church. And thank you for the hominess of the atmosphere here and for the comfortable circumstances that we feel. Thank you for meeting with us and for blessing our hearts with the preaching of the Word faithfully Sunday by Sunday. And now once again we look to Thee for that which Thou dost have for us. Somebody needs to hear Your Word in a very special way today. And in fact, all of us need what You have to say to us through Thy man, through the preacher. Please use him and help us to be attentive in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want you to open your Bibles again, please. I want to read just a verse or two for you back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, page 1269. Now, I say this morning, before I read, a statement that may surprise you. God is not satisfied with you today. There's not a single person in this room with whom God is satisfied. I want to speak this morning on the subject, God is easy to please but hard to satisfy. God is easy to please, but He's hard to satisfy. I'm saying that God, listen to me now, God is not satisfied with you today. He's not satisfied with me. Of course, He's more satisfied with me than He is with you. But the truth is, God is not satisfied with me, and God is not satisfied with you. And God does not want you to be satisfied with yourself. God is easy to please, but hard to satisfy. Look at verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received us, how ye ought to walk and to please God. That doesn't stop there. So ye would abound more and more. In other words, he said, you please God, but you don't stop there. You keep on abounding more and more. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. What does that mean? That means your total giving, your total self to God. That's the will of God. So God is pleased when you do something good, but He's not satisfied. He'll not be satisfied until you and I are sanctified or wholly set aside or set apart to Himself. God is easy to please, but He's hard to satisfy. Father, speak to our hearts this morning. We've sinned this week, most of us, in that our minds have gotten off of Thee. We've sinned, and that this morning, most of us have been less spiritual this week than we usually are. And we need to come today as sinners asking forgiveness to get our minds upon Jesus, It's not wrong to put our minds on our families, but it's wrong for our families to take the place of Jesus. It's not wrong for us to put our minds on Thanksgiving turkey and dinner, but it's wrong not to keep our minds upon Jesus. Bless the service this morning, especially this message to our hearts. Amen. We get the two mixed up. We get the word please mixed up with the word satisfied. God can be pleased with you, but not satisfied. Are you listening to me? With you. And the tragedy is that far too many of us get pleased with ourselves, and then we get satisfied with ourselves. Let me see if I can take you where you are this morning and illustrate what I'm saying. You sat down Thursday about 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and there was a table spread before you, and there was turkey and dressing and cranberry sauce and English peas and pecan pie and other necessities of life. And I'm finally glad that you got in the service this morning. Some have finally arrived. And you sat there. And if you have any sense, the first thing that you took a bite of, okay, let me ask you to see if you have any sense. Everybody look right this way now. Listen to me carefully. If you have any sense, the first thing you took a bite of at Thanksgiving dinner was what? Pie. No, pie is not first. That's the dessert. Okay? Let's have a little vote this morning. How many of you, the first bite that you ate after you sat at the table? Of course, you nibbled a little bit as you were walking along, you know, and so forth. There were streaks all over the top of that pie, that pumpkin pie, you know, and fingerprints. But when you sat down at the table, how many of you ate by the turkey first? Raise your hand, would you please? How many started off with the dressing? Raise your hand, please. And that's the majority of the crowd, because that's what intelligent people will do. They'll start off with the dressing. So let's go back to when you first sat down at the table. And you took a big helping of dressing, and in fact, you probably did for breakfast this morning, too, and turkey and so forth. But you sat down at the table, and you put your fork in that dressing, and you put that dressing to your mouth, and you were pleased. And so you said, that was a good meal. And after one bite of dressing, you wipe your mouth, and you go up and you take a nap, and you say, boy, I'm satisfied. No, you were pleased, but you weren't satisfied. You weren't, by the way, the word please means to delight. The word satisfy means to fill. And in some cases, there is more to fill than in other cases. But you weren't satisfied when you ate the first bite of that pecan pie. And you weren't, well, but at that time, you probably were satisfied. But you should have quit before you got there. But when you ate the first bite of that turkey, you were not satisfied. You were pleased. You see, we get the word pleased and the word satisfied mixed up. We think because God is satisfied with us. No, God may be pleased with us, but not be satisfied with us. You were not satisfied until you were laying down on the couch. Miserable. Saying to yourself, I'll never eat a bite again of anything as long as I live. And 2 hours later, you were in the refrigerator, repenting of that awful statement that you'd made that you'd never eat a bite as long as you live. I drive up to McDonald's and I order a cheese, a quarter pounder with cheese. And so I may decide to sit there in the place reserved for the drive-thru customers, and I'll take a big bite of that quarter pounder with cheese. Now, immediately, I'm pleased, but I'm not satisfied. I don't throw the rest of the quarter pounder away. I'm not satisfied until 6 quarter pounders later. And the word pleased means one thing, and the word satisfied means another. Let's take a mother or a father. And they have a little child, and that little child all of a sudden takes his first step. Now that pleases mama, and that pleases daddy. But that doesn't satisfy them. If the child stumbles down the aisle on her wedding day, the same way that she did her on first step, mom and daddy are not satisfied. Now, mother and daddy are pleased because of that first step, but they want a second step, and they want more agility later on, and they want the child to have a coordinated walk later on. Mother and father, so they're pleased at the first step, but they're not satisfied. The first word, and of course all of you men know what the first word every baby says. It's plain as day. It's dada. It always is. How many of you would agree with that? Would you raise your hand, please? The rest of you are pagan heathenesses. But it's always the word dada. It's the first word. Ever all four of our kids said dada. It's the first thing they said. Now, the first word, whatever it was, it was probably, but whatever it was, probably it was uh-oh. But at first, and that's wonderful. And you wrote that first word down and recorded that first word in the baby book. And you were pleased. But now, if that's the last word they spoke, or if all they said from now on was uh-oh, or da-da, you would not be satisfied. Now, you see, what I'm saying is, that there's a great difference in being pleased and satisfied. God is pleased when you get saved, but He's not satisfied. Then He's pleased when you get baptized, but He's not satisfied. And then He's pleased when you decide to join the church, but He's not satisfied. And He's pleased when you start reading your Bible every day, but He's not satisfied. And He's pleased when you start saying grace at the table, but He's not satisfied. And He's pleased when you start saying, having prayer at night before you go to bed, but He's not satisfied. And He's pleased when you start coming to church on Wednesday night, but He's not satisfied. And He's pleased when you start teaching a Sunday school class, but He's not satisfied. And He's pleased when you win your first soul to Jesus, but He's not satisfied. And He's pleased when you start singing in the choir, but He's not satisfied. And He's pleased when you become a deacon, but He's not satisfied. And He's pleased when you are filled with the Spirit, but He's not satisfied. Now listen carefully. David said in the 17th Psalm, I shall be satisfied when I awake in Thy likeness. You see, our big problem is this. We get satisfied with ourselves, but when we should be pleased with ourselves. And that's why Christians oftentimes don't grow in grace. We come to a place in our lives, we think we're pretty good Christians, and we're satisfied. And so we stop right there. But we should not be satisfied. We should be pleased. Because when you become satisfied, you'll grow no more. When you become satisfied, you'll read your Bible no more. When you become satisfied, you'll pray no more. But God says here, I am pleased at your growth. But I want you to abound more and more. And grow or get bigger and bigger and grow more and more and become a better Christian. And that's why a lot of people in this room today do not grow in grace. Listen, there are hundreds of people right here in this room. You're no better Christian than you were 10 years ago. And that's tragic. And the reason is you got satisfied when you should have gotten pleased. In a little child that takes his first step is pleased. You've seen your children, that first step, and that big old grin comes across their little face, and there's a thrill and excitement. You've seen that. It's a wonderful thing. And a child is pleased with himself, but that child is not satisfied. One day, one night, at our house, Linda, our middle daughter, she said, Daddy, you know who I'd like to go with? And I said, who? She said, that dream boat out at Howells Anderson College. And I said, who is this dream boat? And she said, his name is Johnny Murfree. She's married to him now. His boat has sunk since then. But that dream boat, Johnny Murfree. She said, Daddy, I'd like to have a date with Johnny Murfree. And one day she came home from college and she was hitting on all cylinders and she said, oh, Daddy, I don't know why girls do this. Oh, Daddy, I'm the happiest girl in all the world. And I said, why? I know why. Of course, you're home and you have to see Daddy. Oh, she said, Daddy, he asked me for a date. I said, who? She said, Johnny Murfree. That dream boat, Johnny Murfree, asked me for a date. And she came home on the first date. Was she pleased? Oh, you better know she's pleased. She's almost shouting. Was she? Oh, yes. Was she satisfied? No. Before she went to bed that night, she said, Daddy, do you think you'll ask me for another one? She was pleased. But she wasn't satisfied. And then one day she came and said, Daddy, he did it again. I said, what? Anyway, Daddy, he asked me for another date. And so she had a second date with Johnny Murphy. She came home that night, and she was so happy. She was pleased, but she wasn't satisfied. She said, Daddy, I wish you'd ask me to go steady someday. And one night she came home hollering and screaming, woke everybody up, and she said, Hey, Mama, hey, Daddy, praise the Lord. Woo, guess what? What? He asked me to go steady. She was happy. And then she said, Dad, you reckon he'll propose someday? She wasn't satisfied. You can't satisfy a woman. And she wasn't satisfied. And but she was pleased. Don't you see what I'm saying? And God says to you, God says in heaven, Hey, she won her first soul. I'm pleased. But God's not satisfied. God wants to know if you're going to become a regular soul winner. And you read your Bible 10 minutes a day, and God says, Wow, that's great. But God's not satisfied with that. He won't be satisfied until you awake in His likeness. And one day, one night, Linda came home and said, Daddy, he asked me to marry him. Oh, Daddy, he proposed. And boy, I stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning trying to keep her from dying with high blood pressure. And, Daddy, he asked me to marry him. And she still wasn't satisfied. She said, Daddy, you don't think you'll back out, do you? Pleased? Yes, but not satisfied. She was not satisfied until she became Mrs. Johnny Murphy. And then after she became Mrs. Johnny Murphy, she hadn't been satisfied since. But I'm saying that Jesus looks down this morning and says, Look, I'm pleased with you as you grow, but I'm not satisfied. Now, the honest truth is, far too many of us become satisfied with ourselves, and we should become pleased. I shall not be satisfied, David says, till I awake in thy likeness. When I get to the place where I read my Bible regularly, I'll be pleased, but I won't be satisfied, said David. When I get to the place where I win souls regularly, I'll be pleased, but I won't be satisfied, said David. In fact, he said, I'm not ever going to be satisfied until I am like Jesus is. And until you get to a place to where you are not satisfied with yourself, this at ease in Zion. Well, I come to church on Sunday, I come back on Sunday night, and I come back on Wednesday night, I give my tithe to God, and I teach a Sunday school class, and I'm a pretty good Christian. Let me tell you something. You do not satisfy God. You will not satisfy Him until you are like Him. And so God says, I'm pleased with you, but I'm not satisfied. When I won my first soul to Christ, I'll never forget it. One of the great days in my life, I won my first soul. Oh, I was pleased. I could hardly sleep that night. But I wasn't satisfied. In the next 7 days, I won 37 people to Jesus Christ. Look at me now. I'm preaching to you. Make love after a while. I'm preaching to you. Listen to me. I'm saying I won my first soul to Christ. I was pleased, but I wasn't satisfied. When I pray, preach my first sermon, I was pleased when I finished it, but I wasn't satisfied. I preached over 50,000 sermons now, and I'm still not satisfied. And you will not continue to grow in grace till you become dissatisfied with yourself. Sure, be pleased as you see yourself reaching a new plateau. And sure, God is pleased when He sees you reaching a new plateau, but God is not satisfied, and you ought not be satisfied. And the truth is, there ought to be a holy unrest in the bosom of every single believer in this room this morning. I'm not like Him yet. I'm growing. I'm pleased about that, but I'm not like Him yet, and I won't be satisfied till I be like Him. And so I grow again, and I'm pleased about that, but I'm not like Him yet. The honest, simple truth is nobody will ever grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior until He has a holy dissatisfaction in His breast. Be seated back in the back, please. Nobody will. You're satisfied only, said the psalmist, when you awake in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. I recall when I was a young preacher, pastor of a little church, Mrs. Howes and I used to drive by the First Baptist Church, but go to Texas. They had averaged 106 in Sunday school. We'd stop out in front, look at all those people walk in, 106. We got almost that many in the choir this morning. And I'd say to her, do you think we'll ever have a church that big? And she said, no, I don't think so. And we watched those people flood in there. We watched two or three flood in at a time. And we watched those folks flood in there. And then the day came. I'll never forget it. I was pastor of the Grange Hall Baptist Church, Marshall, Texas. We had 151 in Sunday school. Had my name taken beside the attendance board because I thought I'd never have anything like that again. Boy, I was pleased. 151. I was a pastor of a church, had 151 in Sunday school. We have more people than that right now in the toilets in the church here. But 151 in Sunday school. I was pleased, but I wasn't satisfied. Why? I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher plane. Every plane finds me pleased, but at no plane am I satisfied. I'll never forget that Sunday. Had my first convert. Had 6 people get saved in one service. Boy, I was pleased. I shouted. I had a spell. 6 people saved. I never expected to see 6 people saved in one service. Had 6 people saved in one service. Boy, I was pleased, but I wasn't satisfied. I wanted to have 10. And after I had 10, I wanted to have 25. And after one service had 25, I wanted to have 50. And now that we have 100 saved every Sunday at First Baptist Church, I'm not satisfied. I'm pleased. I go home on a Sunday morning and I rejoice and I'm pleased. I rejoice we had 5,190 people saved in one Sunday. But you mark my word. You read my lips. I will not raise your tithes. But I'm going to warn you, I'm an awful lot like Brother Bush. But anyway, read my lips. Read my lips. Hear me. I'm speaking ex cathedra. There will be a day before you see my body in a casket. Are you listening to me? There will be a day when more than 5,190 people will walk you out at First Baptist Church of Hammond on one Sunday. You say, why? Because I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant. Listen, I could have been satisfied back yonder at 1,000 in Sunday school, but I wasn't. I was pleased. I rejoiced, but I wasn't satisfied. Get dissatisfied with yourself. Exchange that satisfaction for pleasure. I could tell you, at the age of 64, I got more plans ever had in my life. You'd be shocked if you knew what plans I got for your money. You'd faint. I'm simply saying, I'm pleased with how good God's been to me. I'm pleased with the great ministry of this church. I'm pleased with our schools. I'm pleased with the today. Today we will have, or maybe already have. But we'll at least today finish over 7,000 baptisms. Maybe last week we did it. But anyway, one time around last week, this week, we'll baptize our 7,000 person. And by the grace of God, we're hoping to baptize 8,000 people this year. And I'm pleased about that. But brother, there's still 7 million people in Chicago going to hell. I must not be satisfied. I'd be pleased, but not satisfied. Why? Because there's a hell for sinners and a heaven for saints. And I want to see people get out of hell and get saved and go to heaven forever. I'm pleased, but I'm not satisfied. All of America, all of this nation, there are preachers this morning who are satisfied with themselves who should substitute being pleased for being satisfied. I was in a certain church, but there the first time probably 20 years ago. Probably 20 years ago. 18, 20 years. Pastor took over a little handful of people. One of the miracle churches of America. Grew that church to running 1,800 in Sunday school from a little handful of people in 10 years or so. Are you listening? Over 1,800. And what a wonderful church and what a wonderful excitement. I was back last year. We were talking about his attendance. I said, what's your attendance run now? He said about 1,600. I said, now didn't you grow in 10 years from a handful to 1,800? He said, yes, that's right. I said, can you account for why in the last 10 years or so you've held it less than 1,800? He said, I don't want it like I used to want it. Good man, wonderful man, friend of mine. One of the great churches in America. But he told the truth. I don't want it like I used to want it. You see, we have hundreds of people.
We have several thousand members. 1,500, 1,600 Sunday school every Sunday. We have thousands of dollars a week offering. We have people saved every week. What more can I want? Tell you what more can you? What more you want? You can want 2,000 in Sunday school. And you get 2,000, you want 2,500 in Sunday school. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Elmer Towns was right when he made this statement. Most preachers quit growing, their churches quit growing when they reach their 40th birthday. You know why? Because we quit being hungry on our 40th birthday. Let me tell you something, folks. I have refused to grow old. You can tell. Look how young I look. But I have refused. In my mind, I'm as young as ever was, except for about 6 hours every 2 years. But I'm as young as I ever was in my mind. And I'm not satisfied. I'm pleased with our church, but I'm not satisfied. Why? Because there's a whole world without God. I'm not satisfied. And I'm not satisfied with my prayer life. And I'm not satisfied with my soul winning. And I'm not satisfied with my Bible study. And I'm not satisfied with my preaching. Occasionally somebody will come and they'll say, "Brother Hiles, I believe you're preaching better now than you were 20 years ago. And I'm not sure that's right, but bless God, I want to. And I will be preaching better 20 years from now when I'm 84 than I am right now. Why? Because I'm pleased with God's goodness to me, but I will not be satisfied till I awaken the light of my Savior." Now listen carefully. I'm going to pivot just a bit. God is not interested in where you are. Hear me now. Everybody look right this way. God is not interested in where you are. God is interested in how far you've come. Listen to me. In Matthew 5:48, Jesus says, "Be ye therefore perfect." But the word, the tense there, is this. Be ye therefore, be becoming perfect. Be ye therefore, being on your way to being perfect. Now what does it mean? I have a sermon I preached one time, years ago, entitled, "The Best Christian in This Room May Be the Worst Christian in This Room." Let me illustrate. I can't tell you all this fellow said. Sitting right up in the balcony one Sunday, and you guys, we've cut up about an awful lot in the staff meeting. I can't tell you what he said, because he said some awful things. A guy got saved from the gangs in Chicago. Great big guy. He got saved from the gangs in Chicago. He comes to church. He'll sit up there. I think it's up there. It's not up there. It's over there. It's not over there. It's up there, over here, over here. But I think it's up there. He'll sit up there, and while I'm preaching... We had to stop him from saying this. And I can't say the word. He'd say, "D-A-M-N, that's good." Except he says it out loud and says the word. "D-A-M-N, that's good." Now that's his amen. Now I don't want that. When I say, "Jesus saves," I don't want you saying, "Mike, that's good." But wait a minute. He shouldn't say that. But that isn't all he said. I got preaching real hard one day and threw a sore in a fit. And he said what? And I won't tell you what he said about me. But he didn't know it was wrong. Now, wait a minute. That guy up there may be the best Christian in this room. Because Jesus said, "Be therefore, be becoming perfect." And to many of you, you were taught not to say a curse word as a child. He was taught it was okay. And words that to us are obnoxiously filthy are to him normal. And he hasn't even learned yet they're wrong. Now, son, you know it now, but he hasn't learned yet that they're wrong. God is concerned not about where you are and you're getting somewhere to a complacency. God's concerned, how fast are you growing? I was interviewing a fellow on our nationwide broadcast years ago. He was just gotten saved. I won him to Christ out in Hessville. Knocked on his door one day, and his wife had been to our church Sunday before. Went out to see her. She wasn't there. She was working, and he worked nights. He was sound asleep. Woke him up, won him to Christ. He became a faithful member of our church, and I was interviewing him on our nationwide broadcast. Let's go soul winning. I did not know what he was going to say. I said, "Now, how do you feel since you've got saved?" And I'm going to say this word. My mama, if she were here, she'd wash her mouth out with soap. But I'm going to say it. He said, "I feel a heck of a lot better than I used to." On a nationwide broadcast. I almost swallowed my tongue and cut his off. From the full pulpit of First Baptist Church, the word went across America. I feel a heck of a lot better than I used to. Now you say, "Well, what are you saying?" I'm saying that guy is a lot better Christian than some of you that grew up in a Christian home and you were in Sunday school all your life, in the nursery, beginners, primaries, juniors, junior high school, Christian school, Christian college, and you're not growing. That guy has come from being in the gutter. You despise what he said before. Guy came and got saved here years ago. A babe in Christ. Shortly after he got saved, we had our first commencement from Howells Anderson College. I'm sorry, Hammond Baptist High School. Back yonder, a year or two before the college. Right across the parking lot over here, a visitor gets out coming to commencement. Somebody says something about Howells. This visitor curses me. This guy punches him out. He didn't say, "Sir, say it again, I'll punch you." He said, "Sir, I just punched you." Knocked the guy down. Had to take him to St. Margaret's Hospital, the emergency ward. I'm sorry, he shouldn't have done that. But since he did, I'm glad to tell you about it. He punched him out. Now, you know that he shouldn't have done that. But I didn't bawl him out for it. Now, to him, that was growing in grace. Some of you folks ought to grow in grace a little bit more. But that was growing in grace for him. And I'm saying that God is saying here, He's saying, "I'm interested how far you've come." I'm not advocating saying the word H-E-C-K or D-A-M-N or punching anybody out. I am advocating some of you saints that have been sitting where you are now and haven't grown for years. You don't curse, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't go to movies, you don't dance, and you don't live a life of wicked sin. But the truth is, you're where you are, where 10 years ago, you're not as good a Christian as that fellow said at D-A-M-N, that's good. God's not concerned where you are. Some of these poor little bus kids. Some of these high school people. Public school, teenage young people from the Bible club ministries. They're better Christians than some of you deacons are. They're better Christians than some of you choir members are. And they're better Christians than some of us staff members are. Why? Because they've come. Why, one fellow said to me, "Brother House, you understand, when I was 5 years old, my daddy made me drink whiskey for the first time. He said, I don't think I've lived a week in my life from the time I was 5 years old to this hour without drinking whiskey." You understand, Brother Hiles? Now, that fellow may smoke cigarettes and be a better Christian than you are. God is not concerned about where you are. God's concerned about where you are, how far you've come, compared to where you used to be. I say again, God is pleased when you get baptized, but not satisfied. God is pleased when you join the church, but not satisfied. God is pleased when you start reading His Bible, but not satisfied. Oh, if I could come out this morning and take the leadership of this church, take the deacons and the Sunday school teachers and choir members and staff members and Christian school teachers of this church, if I could get you to grow in grace as fast as some of these public school kids are, you'd be a giant of the faith. But the truth is, you are satisfied where you are. But God is not satisfied where you are. He's pleased where you are, but He's not satisfied where you are. I say God's easy to please, but God's hard to satisfy. When you start tithing, that pleases God, but doesn't satisfy Him. When you started soul winning, joined the foster club, fisherman's club, won your first soul to Christ, that pleased God, but didn't satisfy Him. When you decided that you were going to teach a Sunday school class, that pleased God, but that didn't satisfy Him. This morning, I close with this. God called me to preach. I was happy as could be. First little country church I had, I wrote my name and took a watercolors brush and put it in a little can of paint, small can of paint, and wrote the name Jack Hiles, pastor, freehanded it on that sign. I was pleased, but I wasn't satisfied. I went to Grange Hall Baptist Church. First Sunday morning I was there. Three deacons were sitting, the Sunday school superintendent, chairman of the deacon board, and the treasurer, sitting on the second row making faces at me while I preached. That little church grew from a handful of people. Only had seven prospects. Took a census, had seven prospects. In 3 years and 3 months, those seven prospects, we baptized over 600 converts out in the country and changed a whole area and a whole county, and 40 men are preaching around this country and around the world today on mission fields and pastors of churches that came from that little country church. And I was pleased, but I wasn't satisfied. God took me to Garland, Texas, and took a little handful of people, 44 people. On the first Sunday, on the first anniversary, we had 618, but I wasn't satisfied. I was pleased. On the second anniversary, we had 1,180. I was pleased, but I wasn't satisfied. On our third anniversary, we had 2,212. I was pleased, but I wasn't satisfied. On our fourth anniversary, 3,163. I was pleased, but I wasn't satisfied. Now in First Baptist Church of Hammond for 31 years, I've never been satisfied, but I've been pleased. I'm pleased with what God has done this year, but not satisfied. Why? I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Sit up straight. Sit up straight. Draw a little ring around yourself. Ask yourself the question. I ask you, answer the question. Compare yourself to 2 years ago. Compare yourself to 5 years ago. Have you won more souls this year than 5 years ago? Are you a better Sunday school teacher now than you were 3 years ago? You say, Brother House, what's happened to me? I have to confess. I'm not the Christian I used to be. Or I've not grown. I look at myself and I see myself the same as I was 10 years ago, or 5 years ago, or 3 years ago, or 1 year ago. Brother House, what's happened to me? I'll tell you exactly what's happened to you. You got satisfied when you should have been pleased. And you're never going to amount to anything more for God in your life. You get dissatisfied with yourself. Please, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Satisfied? No. And every single person in this room who puts himself up beside the Savior and looks at yourself beside the Savior and finds one single thing that doesn't match up, you ought to weep and say, I'm not like Him yet. I'm not like Him yet. David said, I shall be satisfied when I awakened thy likeness. When I won my first soul, I was pleased, but I wasn't satisfied, said David. When I prayed my first prayer, I was pleased, but I wasn't satisfied. When I memorized my first scripture, I was pleased, but I wasn't satisfied. But David, now you killed a giant, 9'9" tall. Aren't you satisfied? He said, no, I'm not satisfied. But you took your own hands and killed a bear. Aren't you satisfied? No, I'm pleased about that, but I'm not satisfied. But you killed a lion with your bare hands. Aren't you satisfied about that? No, I'm pleased, but I'm not satisfied. But David, you wrote most of the Psalms. Aren't you satisfied with that? I'm not pleased. I'm pleased, but I'm not satisfied. But what in the world is going to take satisfy you? When I awake in His likeness. When I awake in His likeness. I'd like to walk to each one of you this morning as we come toward the end of a new year. I'd like to spend about 15 minutes with you and ask you a question. What do you think about your Christian life? What do you think about it? What do you think about it? I'd like to stir up in you an unholy or a holy unrest, a holy dissatisfaction. Because you will, I'll make this statement close. You will only grow in grace. Now, hear me carefully. You will only grow in grace to direct proportion of your dissatisfaction
with yourself. If you're not dissatisfied, you'll not grow. You heard me tell this. Mrs. Hiles was sick. I was pastor of Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas. I think she had just given birth to David. Maybe to Linda. Anyway, I took one of the girls. She's still a baby. I was preaching at Hickory Tree Baptist Church, Mesquite, Texas. And I took one of the children with me, still on a bottle, to preach. No, the child wasn't going to preach. I was going to preach. I had just gotten a new navy blue suit, much like what I have on today. And I thought I looked nice, just like I think I do today. But I really had a brand new suit, navy blue, and it was a knockout. In those days, I weighed about 170 pounds and had a waistline of 36, 34, I guess. Now my waistline is... Finally got your attention, didn't I? Is more than 34. Had to stop to get something at a drugstore for the baby. And I thought I looked so nice. I really did. I walked in the drugstore and people began to look at me and stare at me. Just stared. And I thought, haven't they ever seen a handsome man before in a new navy blue suit? I walked on down the hall. And the more I walked, the more they stared. I didn't know what it was. I was satisfied with myself. I thought they were saying what a good-looking young man that is. And then I got back to the counter where they made prescriptions. There was a mirror back there. I looked in that mirror. And Becky, the baby, had decided there's more room on my shoulder than there was in her stomach. And she had burped yogurt all over my shoulder right here. I looked in that mirror and there I was, my navy blue suit, brand new suit, covered the whole shoulder here with yogurt. I was satisfied. But I wasn't satisfied after I looked in the mirror. And that's your trouble. You got yogurt all over your spiritual suit. But you don't know it. You think you're pretty good. But the reason is you're satisfied when you should be pleased. Our Heavenly Father.